You have your Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. He starts off by raising this question. He said, ho. Now, the little word ho means, give me attention. I mean, it's the same thing if I walked out of the building and Ole was walking about halfway down to the big house and I hollered, hey! You know what he'd do? Turn around and look at me. In fact, is all the rest of you would. You'd just turn around, I'd holler, hey! I'd give you attention. Now, Isaiah's saying, ho! I'm going to say something to you. And brother, you talk about saying something, he's fixing to say something right here. Now, notice who he's talking to. Everyone. Didn't leave anybody out. People took us all in. Every one of us. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth. You know who that is? That's everybody. Have you ever seen people so thirsty as they are now? This is the out-drinkingest age I've ever known in my life. I mean, they're drinking carbonated drinks, coffees. I mean, people can't even... The Bible said in the closing days they're going to be doing two things. And can you think of what they're going to be? They're going to be doing what? And drinking. Eating and drinking. Eating and drinking. Eating and drinking. That's it. Now, that's going to be what they... Now, that doesn't... Well, of course, everybody's always had to eat and drink something. But, I mean, that's going to be the main business of the people is to eat and drink. Eat and drink. Now, when I came up... When I came up, there wasn't as much eating and drinking. I mean, they didn't have to have a coffee break. See? Now then they have a coffee break at 4, coffee break at 9, and until just look like everybody's breaking. I mean, it's just breaking up everything, seems like. But they used not to. Well, used to we'd go to the field, and brother, we'd hit it. I mean, we'd go early, and we didn't have any 8-hour day. We just worked from what we call can to can. I mean, you know. We worked from the time the sun came up until dark. I know you'd say, well, that's so horrible. Wait, no, we was all healthy. We felt fine. At least we didn't have to take in tranquilizers to sleep. Rather, we hit that bed, we was gone. Of course, I might sometime have a little leg ache or something from working so hard, but everyone that thirsteth. Now, you're thirsty. We'll never get you to drink till you get thirsty. Alcoholics get thirsty for what? Alcohol. And dope addicts get thirsty for what? Dope. Why don't God's people get thirsty for spiritual things? If we're alive, he said, blessed is the man that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Now that's a good place to come. Where else would you go if you really thirsty? Water. There's nothing that'll quench your thirst like water. I just don't understand, honestly, save my life, why people will drink poison instead of water. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, that's the next blessed announcement. You don't even have to have any money to get this. Not a penny. Doesn't cost you a dime. No, sir, not a bit. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim, I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Think about it. Ho, hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now, he tells you to come without money, but he didn't tell you to go buy. What does he mean? It means that Jesus is already paid. You buy with what Jesus gives, you see. He's the one that paid for it. It doesn't mean that salvation doesn't cost anything. It just doesn't cost you anything. You know, one of the things that's amazed me, and I'm going to say it here to you because it's a part of your teaching. People come here and draw checks and never give one red penny to the cause of Christ here. Never give a dime. Never give one thing. Never give anything to the cause of Christ. Never send anything back to the cause of Christ, never write us, and never, I hardly know what it is to receive one penny from anybody that ever comes here. I've known of people that have come here and have drawn checks to build up $400, $500, $600, or $700, and they'd eat God's groceries, and they were nothing but stinking ingrates, and then they went in to get drunk, and when they spent every dime of it on riotous living and in beer joints and liquor joints, you know where they came? Right back out here. Right back out here. I don't know how a man could be that sorry. I mean, a fellow just got to be worse than the devil. I don't believe the devil be that sorry. And I mean, I almost got more respect for the devil than that. But I mean, I've seen it happen time and time again. I've seen people come in with pensions, and they'll draw their pension and save every dime of it until they get a bunch where they can stay drunk for 30 days, and they'll go away and spend every dime. And the time has come when I believe we're going to have to put the discipline to the people that come. For instance, if a man who's retired from the service of the army, if he comes in, he draws $200 a month, he ought to give at least $100 of it to the cause of Christ right here. If he wants to be delivered, he ought to give at least $100 of it. And fact is, I think it was me, he's spending every bit of it, he didn't have a dime left over in town. You couldn't live on $200 a month in town, pay rent and everything else. He ought to give every dime. There'd be no temptation to go off. I mean, I don't understand, because I know people are selfish. people are ungodly when they're not right with Jesus Christ. But I tell you, it's something when you see the selfishness of the old flesh. And then I tell you something else. I've seen people go away from here and stay and get good jobs, and they've never sent a penny, never sent one penny to the cause of Christ. You know, I believe the time has come when we ought to expect some discipline out of the people that go. For instance, I believe anybody on earth, and I'm just saying this for the cause of Christ and for your own good, because God's going to supply our needs whether you're grateful or not grateful, because Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one of them came back. As far as I know, he didn't put the leprosy back on the other 9, but I tell you one thing, they missed the blessing of coming to say thank you. I'll guarantee the man that came back got something extra, and you're going to get something extra from God anytime you're grateful. But I believe this. I believe anybody that comes here, and I've said this, and I'm going to say it again, anybody that comes here and stays 3 months ought to sometime or other in their life send at least $300, which would be $100 a month, for somebody else to come. I mean, I don't understand why anybody wouldn't do that. You think just $100, you couldn't go to a hospital and stay 3 days for $100. And look what they give you. They shoot you full of dope while you're there and leave you worse than you were. I mean, many times it's a true. You know what I'm talking about. This is a spiritual hospital, but it doesn't mean that God's people ought to have to bear all the load. It looks like when people get saved, they ought to say, I want to have a part two. I'm going to send $300. And I tell you something else, and I want our radio friends to know it. I believe anytime anybody comes in here and do not stay the 90 days, I believe they ought to have to pay at least $3 a day for us having to put up with them when they knew they didn't come for victory. They came here to heal up a little bit and go out again and live like the devil. I believe they ought to get... Now, don't get mad at me. I'm trying to do something for your own good. I never did really get blessed until I learned to give. I never have. I mean, the greatest thing, the Bible said, is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And we ought to teach everything you need to be taught while you're here. We ought to teach you to give. We ought to teach you to live. We ought to teach you to pray. We ought to teach you to fast. We ought to teach you to memorize the scripture. We ought to teach you to witness. We ought to teach everything that you need to know. If you're going to be a manly, a person for God, and a real lady for God, you need to learn these things while you're here. If you don't learn them here, where in the world will you learn them? I mean, your philosophy thus far has been a flop. Your little silly philosophy wouldn't work, but you got one now that'll work. You got one now that says others. Oh, yes, Lord, others, see. Well, now to me, I mean, that's it's others. You never have lived till you live for others. As long as you live, have you ever thought about what a little thing you're living for when you're living for yourself? Just a little old, think if I just lived for my little 147-pound, wouldn't I be some rat? I mean, if I didn't live for anybody else, and that's what the average American's doing today, not just alcoholics or narcotic addicts. I mean, the average person never lives for anybody else. He never has a vision of anybody else. And so, until you do, you'll never really enjoy living. What did he say? He said, come by wine and milk without money and without price. Now then, wherefore, here's my question for tonight. Here's the question for the service. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Why? You say, what are you talking about? Well, you answer it. What have you been getting that's not bread? Now you see, Jesus is the bread. He's the bread of life. He said, I am that bread of life. I'm the bread that came down from heaven. All right? Now, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Now, you know if you spend your money for cigarettes, that's not bread. For liquor, that's not bread. For gambling, that's not bread. For licentious living, for dope, that's not bread. Now, just make your application. Wherefore do you spend? Reckon how much money you've spent. I tell you, it just astounds me for dope addicts to tell me how much they can spend for dope in one day. I mean, can you imagine a dope addict spending $30 or from $30 to $100 a day just for dope? Just for dope. And you know what it does? It dazes them. I mean, it somehow paralyzes their brain. It burns their insides. Burns their insides. All right, he said, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Now let me ask you something. What have you been doing that didn't satisfy? You know, have you ever noticed people can get married a bunch of times, but they seem like they just never are really satisfied. People can drink, but they're never satisfied. I mean, people can take dope. They never are satisfied. They just never are really satisfied. You labor for that which satisfies not. I wish I could share with our radio friends this testimony. And my brother, whom I love dearly, he says every once in a while, he said, Lester, your work must be mighty satisfying. And it is. It is. It's the most satisfying thing in the world. I mean, I could spend 4 days for every one if I just had the time. I mean, if I just had 4 days instead of one, see. And if I could have me about 100 hours every 24 hours, I could get a lot more done. It'd just be wonderful. And yet I see people sitting around, you know, well, time's just heavy on my hands. What are we going to do today? I just don't know what I'm going to do. I tell you, where are we going tonight? And all that. I mean, just they don't know what to do with the time, see. Have you ever heard somebody say, I used to say to my wife, come on, we're killing time. She said, you don't kill time. Time kills you. Mm-hmm. When you use up all your time, boys, it's all over. Think about it. Did you know you'll never have any time when you leave here? Never will. All the time you'll ever have will have to be down here because you'll have eternity up there. There won't be any clocks. There won't be any clocks in anybody's home in heaven because there won't be any time. Be no timepieces at all because it'll just be eternity. All right? Read on. He said, do something. Hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now that's what I've been saying. Eat that which is good. You know what's good? That's God. There's none good but God. You know what's good? God's word. Eat that which is good. And let me ask you a question. Nobody raising a hand. You know, I never embarrass any of our people. I mean, I just never try to embarrass you. But I want to ask you a question. How many chapters have you read in the Bible today? Don't answer me. Just think of it yourself. How much have you read in the Word of God? Have you memorized any? Have you worked on any chapter today? You say, no, I really haven't. Why didn't you? Shouldn't you be embarrassed? Really? You mean to tell me you've eaten 3 meals and sat around the table till you couldn't hold anymore, and you've emptied the bowls from off the table, and yet you never threw your old soul a bone? And then you wonder why in the world you can't make it. You never will make it. I tell you right now, you never will make it. You're through. I mean, you're a dropout. Until you get to reading the Word of God. And some of you can sort of look sick and disgusted and everything else, but I'm going to either burn you in or burn you out. I'll put you on the road or I'll put you on the road to heaven. I mean, down the road you go. I believe it's time for God's people, when you come to an opportunity like this, to do what we tell you to do. If we're going to have if I'm to be the captain around here and give the orders, then I believe God will bless you when you carry them out, and you'll bless me if I'll carry them out. And I have no right to tell you, if I hadn't started my day on my knees this morning with the Word of God and chapter after chapter, what right do I have to come up here and kind of beat you all over the head with the Word of God and say, you ought to read the Bible? I believe we all ought to read the Bible. I believe I need it just as much as you need it. I'm not an alcoholic, but I could have been. And I'm not a dope addict, but I could have been. And I'm not any better than any of the rest of you apart from the grace of God. But I'm trying to say to you, if it's good for me, then why don't you think I ought to want you to have the best? And that's all I'm doing for you. I'm just giving you what I'm trying to live by. And man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And if we could get you to ever see it, and you'd get a hold of it, and you'd get in here and get in your room and get the Word of God and pray it and seek His face, it'd be so different for you. It'd be so different for you. What did he say? Eat ye that which is good and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Fat souls. Fat souls. If our souls were fed as well as we feed our bodies, how blessed. Incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live. What did he say? If you'll hear, your soul will live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, I shall call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Now then, we're coming to what he tells us to do. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You know, that's sure applicable out here. See, he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Well, you couldn't seek the Lord in a beer joint, but you're not in a beer joint. You can seek the Lord out here because he can be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. He's near this place. He's near out here. He really is. He wants to help every one of you. You better seek him. You know what that verse teaches me? There's going to come a time when you'll seek him, you can't find him. You can't find him. There'll come a time when you'll cry, but he said, I won't hear you. I won't hear you. Did you know what the Bible said in the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis? My spirit shall not always strive with man. And brother, when the Holy Spirit takes out, everybody might as well quit then, because it's all over. It's all over. You'll never be dealt with again. When the Holy Spirit leaves you and says, I'm through with you now. I've called, I've knocked on your door night after night, day after day. Brother Olaf preached to you. We cried in our prayer meetings and begged you. The time will come when the Holy Spirit will say, I'm through now. It's all over. It's all over. And boys, I'll tell you, when it gets like that, you'll never, never come to Christ. It'll be, you've crossed the dead line forever. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call you upon him while he is near. Wouldn't it be a welcome sign to walk down through the woods and hear some poor old sinner down there crying unto God? Wouldn't that be a blessing? You go down through there and you hear, say, man, what's that here? And I hear somebody, oh, God, have mercy upon me, have mercy. And I tell you what, I'd never disturb you, except I'd fall on my knees and say, Lord, listen to him. Hear him while he prays and give him the answer. Then I'd peep around the bush when I saw you come off your knees and said, praise God, I got the victory. And I'd say, now let me join you. We'll have a shouting spell here together. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what this place is for up here. We didn't come up here just to eat and hobnob and just to bat to breeze. We came up here to seek God's face and get the victory and go away from here living testimonies for the grace of God. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I wish you folks would just see it. I know what the world says. I know what a lot of people say. Oh, Brother Wolf, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm not working with dogs. I'm working with people. I'm working with people. I'm working with precious souls for whom Christ died. And I tell you, if Jesus could redeem that old boy in the land of Gadara, he can redeem you. And if he can take that old sinner like Zacchaeus that came, and if he can take that old rich boy and that old tax collector like Matthew, he can take you. And if he can take the fellows that like Nicodemus that came to him, a ruler of a night, if he came to him, well, he can just save anybody. Jesus has already saved every kind of person on the face of the earth. Now he said, now here's what we're going to have to do. We might as well face it. Now, you remember when I talked to you about the woman at the well? She came up and she said, I'd like to have that water. He said, go call your husband. See, there's got to be a confessing of sin. You got to turn from your sin. You can't just come up here and say, well, I'm going to go back to my sin. You'll never get victory. You're just wasting your time, ours too. Notice what he said. Seek ye the Lord. But he said, let the wicked forsake his way. First admit that you're wicked, and then forsake your way. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. There's two things that's got to be forsaken. One of them is your way that's wicked. And the second is your thoughts, and they're wicked too. Let him forsake. Let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And then let him do what? Let him return unto the Lord. And he'll have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will what? Pardon? He'll abundantly pardon. He'll abundantly pardon. That means he'll have plenty of pardon for you. Folks, I just believe you can see it. I just believe every one of you can see that. And I believe you'll be without excuse when you leave here. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. Now, did you get the logic of that? He said, you won't think like I think. Neither will you walk like I walk. Now, you see what I'm trying to get you to do? I'm trying to get you in the Word of God long enough and enough to where you can start thinking His thoughts. Then what will happen? You'll start walking in His ways. You know why people don't live for Christ? They don't know His Word. They don't have the strength. You know why people fall in sin? Why, it's because they haven't got the Word hidden in their heart. You know what? If I could get y'all to memorize 60 chapters in the next 60 months, I don't believe I'd ever worry about you being... I've never known of an alcoholic. Not in my life, or a dope addict could quote 60 chapters, and I don't believe you have either. I'd like to see a dope addict. I'd like to meet an alcoholic that can stand flat-footed and quote 60 chapters in the Word of God and still go to Bear Joint and get liquor. I don't believe it's possible. I believe that'll cure. I believe the Word of God. Anybody gets 60 chapters, and it just takes memorizing. Just memorize. Amen. You know, brother... He used to be on the other side. You folks have enjoyed him so much today. You know why you enjoyed him? They're just real people, see? But I'm telling you the truth. If you'd seen that fellow over there, back on, how many years ago, brother? I'm on the radio. Answer right quick. 1955. And now look what a tremendous transformation. Just look what a transformation in a man's life. And he knows who did it. Now, folks, I mean, if God would take a man like, see, and would do that for him, why wouldn't he do it for you? The question I'm trying to get you to settle is this. Does God really play favorites? Does the Lord love somebody? Does he love it? I'll go a little further. Some of you might raise your eyebrow, but this is the truth. Do you think that God loves a rich man more than he does a poor man? Or even a poor man more than he does a rich? Do you believe that God loves an American more than he loves a little old Chinaman? Huh? Why, the answer is no. You see, we're all together now. Because why? Jesus loves everybody just the same. Just the same. Now then, if he loves everybody just the same, I should love everybody. I mean, to the extent I want to see him saved. I want to see him saved. And I do. And you know, it's a wonderful thing how the Lord gets you over all your prejudices when you get really saved and filled with the Spirit of Christ. I mean, you don't hate anybody. and you grieve over anybody that won't live for Christ, and you can pack a lot of burdens, and yet it's good for you. Now, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And then he gave that illustration. He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, this is the promise I'm going to claim tonight. For as the rain cometh down from and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Now, folks, we're going to stand on that promise. Somebody said, well, do you think you're doing any good? That's none of my business. My business is sow the seed. And God says, I'll take care of the seed. You go ahead and sow it. And I'll promise you one thing. It'll not return unto you void. It'll accomplish that which I please, and it'll prosper in the thing whereto I send. You can count on that. You can count on that. And I'll tell you, I got a letter right here in my Bible. And they said, Brother Olaf, I just thought maybe you'd like to know that the man that came down to the city of refuge, and it looked like he left defeated. We've got good news for you. That man's living a great Christian life. He's got his wife back and his children back. He's got a good job. He's going on for God. And he said, I learned how to live down in the city. And yet we were in tears when he left. I mean, it was a sorrowful leaving because he left, looked like defeated, and yet God took a hold of him. And that seed, what did it do? Seed came up. That seed came up. And dear friend, I'll promise you this. Every last one of you, if you let this seed get in your soul tonight, if you just let this seed get right down in there, it's going to do. Now I want to give you the 12th and 13th verse. For ye shall go out with joy. That's good. Wouldn't it be good if all of you go out with joy? Don't you kid yourself. I tell you, I know this old rotten, stinking flesh. It'll go to the bottom just like that. And she said, I'm ashamed. She didn't go out with joy. Fact is, she didn't even tell me goodbye. Why? She's ashamed. She knows she's bitten the hand that's been feeding her. She gave her check. She bought her bus ticket. She's got money in the bank. Did she ever give one penny to the work? Not a penny to the work. Not one penny did she ever. Did she buy a morsel of food? Not a bit. Not a bit. And she said, I'm ashamed. She ought to be ashamed. She ought to be ashamed. But dear friends, it's going to take more than shame to solve our problem. It's going to take repentance. Repentance. You can get ashamed and be full of remorse. A lot of people I know, they're just ashamed they got caught. I mean, they just got remorse because they come out. I mean, they just regret the results. They're not sorry for the cause. The cause is they've been against God. And they've been against Jesus and against the Word of God. Dear friends, your sin's against God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Why, he said, I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Until your sin gets like that, you'll never get victory.